Are you looking for a podcast that is the perfect blend of paranormal and pop culture?
Starting off with spooky stuff where we talk cryptids and ghosts.
And then we have our pop culture section where we sometimes have celebrity guests.
Whoa.
Yeah, do you want more?
Boy, howdy.
There's always genre news and all kinds of celebrity deaths. All kinds of it. If you're a celebrity and you die, we're going to talk about it.
I actually was hoping for UFOs.
Well, bet your ass we got that too at the end.
Earthling Entertainment. New episodes every Thursday.
Make sure to check us out anywhere you get your podcasts.
What do you want me to say, Charles?
I don't know. I'm just saying. You were saying the blade was underneath him, but he was stabbed in the chest.
These are all good questions. I'm sure a good interrogation or inquiry would help with. Your friends, if this is their concern, has nothing to do with you any longer. Unless for some reason you think that it is of great importance.
Isn't it?
Convince me.
You may have the power to help me find my balance. If you want to see my fire, you'll give me a chance.
Very well, then. Prove to the High Council that Valen is innocent. If you can do this, then I shall acknowledge you as the Asher Heir. Welcome back, foundlings, to another episode of The Gate Chronicles. This is Chronicle 1, Chapter 98. There's normally a woot-woot. I was expecting more. Come on now.
Woot-woot.
Thank you.
Not episode 100 yet.
Almost there.
I thought we were celebrating every episode until episode 100.
No one did that besides me. So I'm waiting.
98, woot-woot.
Thank you, Jaden.
100.
You get one inspiration. We don't even use inspiration. All right, fine then. I see how it is. Well then, hello there, foundlings. It is I, Emily, the Game Master extraordinaire for this series, session, episode, etc. And today, I am joined by my two only players who are going to go around, starting with my left, and introduce themselves.
Hi, everybody. My name's Quentin Ott, and I play Charles Smoot, 57-year-old biology teacher, born and raised in upstate New York. And might I say, I'm feeling like the old man more and more every day. Achy bones, weathered spirit, but I am here, excited
to get back into the thick of things.
And then there's me, Jaden, and I play Finavir Avir, ace attorney. Dun, 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 dun.
What if he fails at being an ace attorney and then it's just back to the guy who doesn't know who he is anymore?
I mean, Phoenix Wright ace attorney was a total bum that got disbarred and now was completely disheveled for a couple episodes. Then he bounced back.
So, let's get started. Turns out the truth leads to a very complex set of circumstances. In order to prove Valen's innocence of the regicide, the party needs evidence. And to top it off, Finavir has been tasked with accomplishing this Herculean deed. But with the prime suspect's own account describing a lapse in memory, it seems he might be doomed to keep the title of Kingslayer. Valen, not Finavir, just to clarify. So, gentlemen, where we left off last session, does anyone recall?
We were leaving the In Raylund home of Byron Gray after having spoke with him.
All right, and what is your plan? Right now?
I guess that entirely depends on the time of day. Is it still ample time or like noon 30? What's happening?
It was morning when we went out and we only had 15 minutes.
Yeah, we really were not allowed to have a long conversation. So more or less, my understanding, our equal interpretation is going to be that we wanted to speak with one Roberto Lucerne, who was the physician who aided Valen immediately after the incident with Arctur Dominus.
He lives a day's ride away from Senai.
Then it sounds like we're riding for a whole day, boys.
It could be 3 days and we'd be on our way.
And we would be on horses.
Probably going to have to ask him to come back with us.
Yeah. But what's he doing out there anyways?
Valen stops before leaving. And does say, I'm not sure me going to Roberto's is going to assist us any further. Honestly, the more interaction I have with individuals in this city who we like could get them into trouble. Perhaps I just stay behind?
I'm assuming you mean at Baron Asher's.
Well, he didn't seem to have any issues with that.
Okay. I'm sorry, Benavir. Do you need to get permission from Daddy to go a day's ride? Is that past your curfew?
Hold on. Granddaddy.
I'm sorry. Do you need to get permission from Granddaddy? Is that past your curfew? I know he said no leaving the house.
That's been put on hold until my business is finished.
Lovely. Okay, well done.
Did you get the number 2 out?
Have you been constipated?
Is that the business?
I don't think that's relevant here.
Oh, so you did.
Has been constipated.
I knew it.
Well, then.
Our rations have been nothing but... we'll pick up some fibrous fruit before we head out.
You've been constipated.
You need water.
Fiber make it worse?
Yeah, but make it more solid. A brick.
We need to just cram you full of salts and sugar. That'll make it slide right out.
I really do not enjoy this topic of conversation. I'm going back inside the manor, and I'm going to enjoy myself. Bye.
So, after, I guess, reconvening and gating our mounts back from Baron Asher's estate, we would be parting ways with Valen and making our way a day's ride to Roberto Lucerne.
Sure. As you said, with a slight correction, Roberto Lucerne is a healer of a local village that is somewhat nestled within the Grays estate, out in the countryside. As you ride up to the village, you see that it is almost as you remember it. It is quaint, small collections of houses here and there, and you see off in the distance Roberto Lucieran's home. Also, Farron's home. But you approach. You do not see anyone outside currently. You arrive probably, let's say, depends on when you left. When did you leave?
We wouldn't be leaving Baron Asher's estate till noon one day, so we would get there early in the morning to noon the next day.
Okay, sure. So you camped out overnight. Sounds
presumably
good. Yeah, you got a little
bit. No strangers to nature.
Yeah, you got a little bit of dirt in your hair and everything, the usual, but you arrive in the afternoon.
Dang it, I was well bathed and everything. Nice as my hair had been looking in 6 months.
Well, I mean, it's still intact. You're not balding yet.
This glorious mane will never leave me.
I don't know. I see that one spot there right in the back corner.
You see no such thing.
Oh, he's hiding it for the audience at home.
Maybe Roberto has a miracle elixir.
We could ask him.
Okay. And so Smoot knocks a little one, quite cheerily.
You knock on the door.
Come in, guys.
You enter inside, into this nice, cozy house. The scent of herbs fills your nostrils, and you hear a mortar and pestle grinding towards the back of the room. He looks at you leery-eyed a little bit before he seems to recognize you.
Ah, you have returned. It has been quite some time.
Indeed.
How fares?
He looks around momentarily.
Lord Vale, is he well?
He is well, but as you can understand, with the current environment, he was a little wary to come. He did not wish to potentially introduce any undue strife onto your family.
Ah, always a thoughtful boy he is.
But he does sincerely thank you for your services. And if it is not too much to ask, we would request them again in a slightly different capacity. We hope to acquit Valen of the charges of regicide by appearing before the council. And I hope that your testimony may aid us in some capacity.
He stops grinding on the mortar and pestle momentarily. You see his gnarled hands, which have worsened over the time, fairly quickly, since it hasn't been too long.
I see. And in what way could I be of service to the young lord?
Well, first, we presumably will need you to testify to the poison that was used in wounding Valen. I believe previously you mentioned it was Wheelwoe.
Woundwheel. It is close enough.
Similar words.
Wheel or woe is like, hey, augury over here.
Okay, listen, this is why you're the expert, and I'm requesting your help. But the second thing, and maybe more importantly, while you were treating Valen, was there anything that may have led you to believe that he was under the effects of some other drug? Something that would cause him any form of cognitive decline?
He ponders for a moment.
I'm sorry, I cannot recall anything in particular. It has been some time since I saw the young lord in that state. But if he had been afflicted by something else, by the time I saw him, it might have worn off.
I feared as much. If you cannot recall that specifically, could you then perchance point us in the direction of something that could have similar side effects as to what we reported? Valen, in his retelling of the events, mentioned that he consumed a small morsel of food, but moments later he began feeling sluggish, drowsy, and then losing track of time. He mentioned as if he would close his eyes for a moment, but then a large passage of time would have occurred.
As if losing moments of time. It sounds as if you are asking if there was something that might have caused him to fall asleep.
I suppose it could have been something simple as that. Do you know of anything that could be mixed into food somewhat imperceivably?
That is a somewhat broad specification. There are many variants of sleeping tonics with varying degrees of efficacy and potency, some of which can be crafted from the local plant life, but more often they are used as part of an herbal blend in tea to create a feeling of relaxation. Those are usually slower to take effect. In my prescriptives, I advise those be taken no more than 2 hours prior to the time of sleeping. Masking the bitterness can be done with steeped fruit or honey, which softens the blow to the palate. But this is generally safe, and I trust that anyone could conceivably make an herbal blend, though I doubt that it would have the same effect if it were to be mixed into food. Again, it would have to be either very sweet or savory for an individual to palate it. And as I said, there are a few local blends that could be used in this way. White poppy, wild lettuce and drake root, to name a few. Now, stronger concoctions require a high degree of skill and knowledge of the plant being used to make it effective without killing the imbiber.
Well, considering the outcome, I don't particularly think that would be a concern of theirs.
Would it be correct in thinking that if such a concoction were made, and made imperceptible, that there would be a very small circle of people who could pull something like that off? Or do you think that someone might be able to have come up on this through rudimentary study and some trial and error?
Well, given enough time, arguably anyone could make concoctions of this kind. I advise against it, however. As you said, some trial and error is certainly required. But at what cost?
In regards to the level of skill, would this just be someone who has access to information and has time, or someone who is practiced in medicine?
Is not someone practiced in medicine one who has access to information? With any skill, time is required. Is not a cook a practitioner of medicine when his meals warm the belly and strengthen the body? Is not a forager an herbalist when his choice of mushroom or leaf predicates a cure or poison? Medicine is practiced by all, and yet none.
Roberto folds his hands together thoughtfully.
What it seems you are truly getting at is whether such knowledge belongs only to physicians and alchemists. It does not. The plants themselves are common enough, as are many of their gentler uses. But familiarity is a fitful thing. What merely dulls a hound may scarcely trouble a horse, and what quiets a horse may still a man's heart outright. The difficulty lies not in knowing the plant, but in knowing the measure. A sleeping tonic too weak is worthless. One too strong ceases to be a sleeping tonic at all. Such understanding is rarely gained in a single attempt. Herbs teach through repetition, and repetition has a habit of leaving consequences behind it.
I see. That is important to know. I appreciate it.
So, whoever made this had time to practice it. So someone has been tasting this and testing this for a considerable amount of time. Could have been the same person testing it on themselves. Could have been someone they were practicing it on, but just something to keep in mind. It's not something you would pick up over the course of like a month.
So you think a strong enough concoction could work very quickly, or do you think that in most cases it would take time to settle in no matter what?
Again, that is a matter of preparation and measure. A gentle tonic brewed for sleep may creep slowly through the body, like evening rain. But a plant distilled to its very essence may prove considerably more potent than a simple steeped leaf or root. A stronger concoction crafted with intent may seize hold far more swiftly. Though swiftness and safety are rarely companions in matters of dosage. White poppy, for example, is considerably more potent by nature. In smaller measure or steeped gently into tea, it may simply dull pain or invite sleep. But when rendered down into a concentrated tincture, it becomes far more dangerous. The difference between sedation and death grows increasingly narrow. Wild lettuce is gentler by comparison. Its effects are milder and more forgiving, even when concentrated. One would require far greater quantity to achieve deep sedation, though the risk of killing the imbiber outright is considerably lower. And I would say that Drake Root rests somewhere in between those two, although I advise caution with any such preparation. In truth, it is often the preparation rather than the plant itself that determines swiftness. A distilled draught enters the body far more aggressively than a simple steeped leaf.
If the time comes, would you be willing to testify before the council on the condition that Valen was in?
Of course. I will do anything for the Greys. They have been a great help to my family all these years.
Thank you very much.
Before you go, Roberto stops you.
Wait, but a moment. I realize I may not have had too much to share with you today, but perhaps you would like to borrow this.
And he hands you a book
to help you with identifying any plants.
We would be most grateful.
If you do not mind, it could aid us greatly.
Thank you.
Who is taking it? One of you may carry it, not both.
Finnevere, because he does the knowledge checks outside of
really
nature.
Outside of what?
Nature.
And what are we being given?
Well, you know, I guess Smoot was a biology teacher.
Oh, was he? That's so crazy. What's your nature and medicine check?
Nature is a 10.
Medicine?
Also a 10.
Okay, mine's only 2 better than yours. It's a 12 and 12. So, I mean, like, but yes, technically it is. Finnevere would grab it, and Charles Smith would be like,
do you know what profession I had?
He was biology teacher. Oh, I'm sorry. I gave the answer beforehand. I failed the test.
You know, I took you at your word when we just met. You don't really strike me as a biology teacher.
What's not to be biological about me?
You spread biology and bisect it far better than you do explain it.
What? That's not true at all. I can tell you every part I've dissected. Anyways, frog dissection is a very large part of the biological midterm.
All right.
I failed that one. It was really bad.
Honestly, most people are just too shy about it. You really gotta get in there.
Half an arm in?
Elbow deep.
Elbow deep. Oh, no.
You should see the frogs we have in New York.
Like, greater than the frogs we found on the way to Maryland the first time?
No, think those. Exactly. Now you understand why you gotta get elbow deep.
We didn't find any frogs on the way to Rayland.
He meant on the way to Ashby.
Oh,
we didn't find
any frogs on the way to Ashby either.
Oh, dang it. He meant on the way to Lamb's Respite in the town of Newark.
Oh, boy. It's a good thing the GM keeps everything straight.
Thank you, Roberto, for the book.
But you know, Quinton.
Yes, you know.
Your forgetfulness does remind me.
That we haven't run into El Chico and his banditos?
No. What might cause us to be forgetful? Is it Smooch dementia? Or could it be
the passage of
the time dilation nonsense that we have to draw from every week?
Oh, gosh.
I think I told you guys, these might not be at work anymore.
We haven't seen this one yet. I don't think.
I think I got the one you got last time. Flames.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. You forget important details about a dangerous enemy or hazard. Quinton, what did you draw?
I swear we've never seen this one before. I drew Gem.
Wait, you didn't even know this was a card, did you?
You forget the value or significance of an item in your possession. You receive this book. Do you remember?
Do I forget the value of what I consider to be the most valuable thing? Because that might
No,
mean
that's
I just,
not what it's. You just.
Just anything?
You forget the value or significance of an item in your possession. I would say it's probably the most important item in your inventory.
I mean, what could be more important than Matilda?
Yeah, I was going to say, what is more important to Smoot than Matilda?
Than the plus one striking bleeding bastard sword? I don't think there is anything. So, alchemical book in tow. I guess we would be leaving Roberto Lucerne to make our way back to another day's ride away to Rayland proper.
Sure.
Only to find out that David was back where we came from.
That'd be so funny.
Hey, man. I hope you weren't though.
He could be in East Realm by now for all we know.
I'm going to say you guys probably take a day to relax for a minute because that's a lot of riding unless you plan on like actually like boom, 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 boom.
No, absolutely, bro. We got sweet digs right now. I absolutely on the way back to Raylan. We are crashing at Baron Asher's place. I'm getting a bath and a 5-star dining meal. At every opportunity, I will use the amenities.
Okay. Valen again elects to stay behind to keep from having to have Finn use magic on him and also to reduce the risk of being caught in the city. He does ask you to let him know when he is needed.
So, we don't know where David is.
Yeah, but say his name and he appears. I mean, you know where the merchanting headquarters are because didn't your grandfather take you there once?
Yep.
So I feel like the best place to start would be there.
You want to know what's amazing?
Yeah.
We don't know David's last name.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We can just describe him.
Leaving from the Baron's estate, you head into the city proper of Senai, making your way into the Merchant's Guild. It is bustling. So going around, you're asking your questions to locate this man, who you have not seen in quite some time, with Finevere being the last person to have seen him. Eventually, you, as you are gathering information on his whereabouts, you hear that he has been moving around quite a bit. At one point, he had his own stall, but that had to close down due to recent regulations. And now he's just been helping out the locals with some of their own grievances. So, you encounter David. He seems to be talking with a small group of people, quite jovially.
Well, look who it is. In the flesh, the mighty merchant of Rayland.
He turns to you. Not a merchant anymore.
Oh? I change in vocation, I hear.
Please say defense attorney.
Please say real estate.
No, they closed down my real estate business.
Ah!
Wow, he really did try and trade a house for a paperclip.
Did Finnevin? Speaking of, it is so good to see you, Charles. He goes over to give you a hug.
Warmly reciprocating the embrace.
Thought Finevere would have told you I was in real estate.
Thank you. You told me you were in real estate.
You think Finevere would have reminded you?
I know you were in real estate.
Well, you just said, please tell me he's in real estate. Listen, I have...
No, I said defense attorney, and that's purely on a personal basis.
Oh, well, never mind. Ignore me.
So? He'll keep us hanging?
Unemployed.
Unemployed!
Freelance.
Freelance.
Landscaping.
Landscaping?
Freelance sounds a lot better than unemployed.
Exactly. No, but I have also been helping the locals around here with all the changes and whatnot that have been going on.
Speaking of all of the changes...
Yes?
It seems like a lot's been changing.
A little bit here, a little bit there.
I look around. We're in a public venue.
Mm-hmm. And he was talking to someone.
Yeah.
Would there be a better time, perhaps, that we could catch up? Maybe somewhere more privately.
Oh, we could go to that place.
That's so close to E. Do they have private rooms?
We could ask.
We can always ask.
I have not been there in quite some time.
But I don't mean to interrupt anything you're doing.
Oh, no, no. We were finished up here.
Very good. So let's be going down the street somewhere inconspicuous that will not be remembered.
So you go to that place that's close to E.
Private room.
He's rolling for generosity.
Yes.
But this one says no on it a bunch of times.
Oh, you want me to roll that one? I can roll it.
No, we already said yes. No, take two baggies.
No, and...
Aiden, why would you do this to us? I had a yes. You undid our yes.
No, and it's going to cost you extra.
Of course you don't have private rooms. If, though, someone were just to slide you a gold coin...
No, but...
two gold coins.
Yes, and...
Then, you know, perhaps we could get a plate of food delivered to a table with some discretion in that place that's kind of private.
Yes.
So we make our way to our not private room. It's definitely private, but it's so private you don't even know about it. That's how private this room is.
Yep. Definitely. This not canon thing that's happened.
See, we've secretly infiltrated the rebellion in Rayland at that place that's close to Eve. It's like Franny's Tavern. They have a secret backdoor for people who are attempting to overthrow Desmond.
So, you actually go to that place that's close to Eve. You ask for a potentially private room. They take you to like one of those, you know, Japanese style little tiny room areas. There's not much in the way of chair seating, but you can sit on these mats on the floor. That this is a cultural experience from East Realm.
All right, so we get some nice veggie wraps, some meat slices.
And as soon as the waitress leaves...
So, David, you may notice our accompaniment. Me.
Me.
Genevieve, Kelsey.
Yeah, I already said me.
Okay, I'm speaking for you because you're a woman. Shut up.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. You haven't been speaking this whole time and have been allowing me to speak for you.
No, no. I have been speaking. You've just been ignoring me.
Just like a woman.
Hey, 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 hey. Hey, I'll tell your wife when we get back. Lord Eden.
Oh, that's not at all who my wife is.
Give it time.
The moment you thought made me think of Joy. Well, then. So, David, you may be noticing we are missing an individual who we came to Rayland with previously.
I was going to say, Alfred Kenneth missed, but you really, like, continued on that statement there.
We did not come to Rayland with Alfred Kenneth Mast.
That is why I said you continued on with that statement.
Yes, we came here with another individual who is currently...
Oh, did he finally die?
He is alive.
What?
To the best of our knowledge... No, is there a reason why you assumed he would have?
I was still on the bandwagon that he was suspicious and we didn't like him. You gave off vibes.
No. I have a deep-seated and irrational hatred for John Xavier.
He was distrusting the person you're thinking of because of his forward interest in Kelsey.
Yes, that, exactly. See? You gave off vibes.
You did give off vibes.
Okay, I'm not gonna kill a man just because he's going to flirt with you, Kelsey.
I don't know about that. I feel like you've threatened some people. There have been fewer guys around me since then.
They have to prove that they are worthy.
You've killed for less.
You see? Vibes. He gestures all like around Charles Smoot.
Have there been any other rumors or any additional information since we last left pertaining to Valen Gray or in relating to what occurred to Archer Dominus? I figured you'd have your pulse on society and might have heard a rumor or two.
I gotta be honest, I did not want to know what was going on with all of that. I'm kind of like an illegal alien here, so I tried to stay on the down low and not like inquire too much after. Remember,
he looks around wearily.
The Seekers were implicated in the situation. I had my badge.
You passed the test?
No, but we had an extra, remember?
Oh, that's not yours. They can't tie that back to you.
I know, but I had it.
Okay, you can say it's somebody else's.
You still have it.
Why do you still have it?
Well, I thought it'd make it easier to get in and out of the city. It did at one point, but that's changed.
Significantly, from what I've seen.
Yeah, I've been sort of stuck in the city.
Do you want to leave the city?
Not particularly. Right now, no.
Okay, just wanted to make sure you were where you wanted to be.
I've had some nice gigs here, so I don't mind it. I'm used to avoiding the law.
You always gave me that impression.
He looks like he's thinking back to before the time.
In other news, not to derail the conversation, but I did thought you would want to know that my grandfather and I are on significantly better terms.
Well, I definitely didn't ask, but good. Good for you. I'm so happy.
I do appreciate your help on getting out of the city.
That's right. I did help you get out. You still owe me like 500 gold. But yes, so you are more curious about what has been going on in the city then. I know some things, but I didn't go too deep in.
Public opinion is something that we need to learn more about.
What do you want to know?
How do people feel about the change? Did anyone suspect foul play?
Which change? There have been a lot of changes, so which one are we speaking of?
Desmond's takeover?
Favorable. So far. The merchants have been a little bit on the gripey side since the taxes have increased significantly.
And the public opinion of Valen? They just assumed that what they were told was accurate, given no other alternatives? Or is there still suspicion?
Are you asking me for the opinion, or are you trying to portray something?
No, I'm trying to ask if there is a public opinion on what happened. Sometimes people can have feelings on how things actually went down.
I understand, Philibert. You don't have to explain how people have feelings. I get it. Trust me, I understand. In regards to Valen's situation, I would say it's probably more along the lines of he's the king killer. There was the whole hullabaloo with the Red Kingdom. That was cleared up.
What do you mean, hullabaloo with the Red Kingdom?
Well, I mean, they were here when the king was murdered, so people were concerned they might have been involved, but that was cleared up.
How so?
I don't know.
Interesting.
All I know is that when the High Council held their whole spiel, they cleared them and they ended up leaving.
So is it just the taxes that the merchants are concerned with? Or Desmond's new policies?
I mean, so far, there's just been a increase on the food and the clothing export. I thought your grandfather would have told you this.
It didn't come up. I suppose as if the taxes aren't overbearing, then merchants can be a little unhappy but not directly threatened. Were the changes so great that it put you out of business?
No, Finnever, you have to remember something. I am not a citizen of this country. So
he doesn't pay taxes.
Tax evasion is a very serious crime.
That's why I asked for a private room.
Like I said, I have been freelancing now, helping people in these sort of situations. So, said Valen's alive and well, what is it you're planning to do?
Well, ideally, if we can find ample enough evidence, we would like to acquit him of the crime he is accused of.
Ooh, tough chance that.
Certainly, however, I feel like, given what we have, it's not a zero chance. Even you mentioned that initially upon the event's occurrence, a number of people suspected the involvement of the Red Guard. And we believe to have found reasonable evidence that would point to that.
All right. How are you going to go about doing this?
There are two avenues to this. One is to go through the proper legal channels and have a high council meeting. Go before the council members and present our evidence. Alternatively, I mean, we could just start stirring in political discord within the public. I'm not saying to Sam.
All right. To what end?
Again, hopefully the acquittal of Valen. If he is falsely accused of the crime, then, I mean, his life is ruined. His father in shambles, his family not well. If we can right that wrong, I feel like there is merit in doing so.
All right. What is spreading a rumor going to do for you?
Oh, I mean, that's more of a backup plan where, I mean, you know, you go before a big court, the judge doesn't like you, but eventually you can get enough of the lay people to agree with your opinion, and then maybe just like by popular demand.
That's not a good court system.
I mean, hey man, who? A king was killed here 6 months ago. It's probably not a great government system.
Sure.
The point being is we have reason to believe that Balin was in fact framed. The same poison that was used to kill the king is an incredibly rare and potent variety that was traded, swapped hands between the Red Kingdom and another individual here in Rayland.
What poison was that?
Woundweal.
That's not rare. I've heard of it before.
Are you kidding me?
No. I'm fairly certain.
You're telling me people can just buy a poison that makes curing it impossible?
Well, it's common among the military, at least. I'm just saying I've heard of it.
Right.
That brings a good question, though. If it's common among the military, what need would Desmond have to procure it illicitly?
Wait, what? Desmond? What are we talking about?
We trust David, right? We like this guy.
Yeah, we trust you with our bird and our bush.
And your paperclip.
And my paperclip.
You don't have any paperclips. I notice you don't wear them on your...
Where do you have the ledger?
I do. He'll hand it to Smoot.
Oh. I show to David the entry which indicates that the bishop traded both Woundweal and Forest Blight to one CDG for the flower and also Astaria stones.
I see there are initials here in Arthdal. Very well written, though. Very clear. So, what do the initials mean here?
The bishop, being the representative of the Red Kingdom, trading in the Woundweal and the Blight Cure. Presumably, CDG, standing for Captain Desmond Gray. As I do not know who else would have access to move Astaria stones outside of Rayland. That also has those initials. One would imagine that the captain of the King's Guard and a military man would have access to Rayland's most proprietary military technology.
All right. I mean, it's a fair argument to make. But with those initials, it doesn't make it very definitive.
Now, who else would have access to Astaria stones?
Furthermore, there is a letter coming directly from the bishop to the Red King, in which he mentions, specifically, the captain's report and the flower. The flower being the other item that was traded in this ledger, and the captain then tying back into the initials of CDG.
The letter also mentions the CDG initials?
Not explicitly. It says the captain's report, but the fact that captain is mentioned and captain starts with C. C starts with C. CDG starts with C.
Charles starts with C.
Yes, but I am not Captain Charles. He is Captain Desmond Gray, who would have had, in this instance, access to a flower, and also Astaria stones.
What do they want with a flower?
So you remember CC?
What does she want with a flower?
The Red Kingdom kidnapped Cece. That is what caused the incident in the courtyard, which caused Amali to go a little haywire.
What?
This was all orchestrated by John Xavier, who likewise worked with the Red Guard and the Rayland Guard to get her over.
Think John Xavier killed the king?
I mean, by all technicalities, he's a bastard. We haven't ruled that out. But no.
I thought you said you figured things out with him.
I said I hate him slightly less.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
He is very compromised, but reasonable motives and ambitions. We do definitively know from his own testimony that he traded Cece to the Red Kingdom.
Why?
The Red Kingdom is holding his wife hostage.
Oh.
So the agreement was that if they get Cece, he gets his wife back, which, by the way, they doubled back on because they're scumbags and evil.
Well, that sounds very unfortunate. So the real question is you want to acquit Valen, but you need more than just... I'm very lost in this conversation. I'm so sorry.
In any court case, you more or less have to, at least, I mean, you know, back where we came from.
Means, motive, and opportunity.
Oh, even though Valen may have had the means and opportunity, he doesn't have any motive.
Every criminal needs a mom.
Means, opportunity, and motive, you know?
I was going to say, he has a mom.
Every criminal has an MMO.
Massively multiplayer, online.
The point being, Valen may have the means and opportunity, but he certainly does not have the motive. Whereas the Red Kingdom, or an individual on the inside within Rayland who has something to gain from the regicide, would reasonably match the means, motive, and opportunity.
Also, with new information that wound wheel is not uncommon, that means that the only thing of particular rarity that was traded was Blight Cure, which means Desmond had a desperate need of such, and we don't know why.
This is quite a lot to have on your plate.
I mean, hey, man, you've apparently gone through like 3 different gigs and are now freelance.
Freelance.
And have been dodging the cops for tax evasion.
Hey, we don't talk about it.
It certainly is a lot, and that's why, again, we are attempting to procure additional evidence to sway things in our favor. However, I fear that a lot of this is going to come down to interrogating the individuals present during a trial.
It certainly sounds that way. So, then, how are you going to get there?
Get to a trial? Well, thankfully. You know this guy? And Smooth points to Finnevere.
Hi, Finnevere. It's nice to meet you. Apparently, I don't know you. Yeah, very nice.
Did you know his legal last name is Asher? Like Baron Asher? Like one of the sitting council members?
Yes, I did. So, it is why I avoided him.
So, that's my... I feel like we can probably get a council meeting, and then we would just have to call the individuals who were present on the day as witnesses.
That could be a plan.
And worst case scenario, we sneak Valen out of the city, and it's like he was never here in the first place.
Are they going to allow you to have a case without presenting the criminal? The air quotes?
No. We'd have to go do prison break number 3. I don't think third time's the charm in this case.
I think that is the saying, though.
I don't think that's the case this time around.
If everything went smoother than the other 2 times.
I'm imagining.
Wouldn't that be great?
Why have you been arrested so many times? What did you do?
Oh, please, like you haven't been arrested at least 2 in your life. Don't touch me.
All right.
15. All right, but listen.
See?
My cousin paid my bill.
It wouldn't be convenient if we could figure out if Desmond had someone important to him that needed the blight cure. I don't know much about his parentage and or associates.
I mean, who know Eyeless?
Yes, but she seemed fine. Well, she didn't seem under the weather when we met.
You mentioned an abnormality.
Yes. Which seemed like a bruise, as from what I could tell. And also, she had gone much into the deep wood that I can remember to cause such an abnormality.
Well, I think we're going to have to take the evidence we have. Valen will have to turn himself in, and we will have to trust in the process of the High Council.
Might I offer you a bit of counsel?
Please, that's why I asked if you were a defense attorney.
Why would I be a defense attorney?
Very amicable and good at speaking.
Why would I be a defense attorney?
Because there are wealthy criminals who pay a lot of money to get out of going to jail.
First of all, yes, but defense? Whatever. Anyway, what this comes down to, you need to convince the High Council that Valen is innocent.
Good question. Do they have innocence until proven guilty here?
I have no idea. I haven't gone through it that deeply, but it does seem like the law is fair to a certain extent. But perhaps trying to target the current king with your evidence is not a good idea. Don't go in heavy-handed.
To that point, though, if we did bring evidence which pointed fingers at Desmond, and for such an accusation, there was an attempt on our life, doesn't that portray him as all the more guilty?
If we could link the attack.
If you survive.
I feel fortuitous.
I think you're foolish. This is a city filled with guards. Perhaps in some circumstances there may have been some higher power protecting you from complete and utter annihilation in the complete campaign and plot. I think that you need to consider who it is you are targeting. What is your goal in this case?
Acquitting Valen Gray.
Acquit Valen Gray. So, the evidence you gather should be focused on that.
And these are points and fingers at someone else.
Perhaps when you get further information, you could request opportunities to investigate further.
Call for a recess. I think our goals are clear. Thank you, David. As always, it's a pleasure. I wish you the best. If you need us, we are staying at Asher Winery. They got some pretty good digs.
I would prefer not to go anywhere near where Baron Asher is. Yeah, I've ran into him once before, and it was not good.
All the same, you know where to find us.
He did not like that I was suing him for food poisoning. He just starts walking away.
Did he win?
Do you think he'd be in his current circumstances if he won? Have you ever known your grandfather to lose?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Well.
Even if things weren't going his way, he'd find a way to benefit from it.
Back to the Asher Estate, I guess, to mount our defense and make a plea before the High Council.
Right. Head first into danger.
Isn't that the way we always do things anyways? It's been working thus far. More or less.
We're still here, kind of.
So let's see if it'll see us through.
So you head back to the manor. What do you do?
The only other thing that is a potential undisclosed thread that arguably is the most damning piece of information is whether or not Eilis has a forest blight, or had a blight of the forest.
How does that help you clear Valen Gray's name?
It doesn't, but it does help the link of the Red Kingdom to Desmond. Which, again...
So, if the book isn't useful...
Then what did we spend the last, 6 months doing, you know? Because we don't have any more information with it than we would have had 6 months ago.
I mean, we are clued in to the truth.
Yes, we definitively know more so that our client is innocent, which is good for our conscience, but we do not definitively have any more evidence to acquit him thus far, besides his own testimony.
You have to build a case. Right. Like you said, you're missing pieces of a greater puzzle, right?
Again, the linchpin is we can have Valen testify. In order to convict him, presumably they would have to establish means, motive, and opportunity. We can argue very easily that he has no motive to kill Arctur Dominus, who is a close family friend and the largest advocate for him to become king. So he wouldn't use the standard military dagger because he summons an Isothane. So there's no reason he would coat Wound Wheel in a standard military dagger. Why wouldn't he coat his rapier? So he doesn't even necessarily have means to commit the crime with the weapon in which the crime was committed. An opportunity, if he was drugged just like the king, he would not have had the opportunity to commit the crime. So then during the trial, it would be upon us to then confirm that he was drugged by something. I don't know. Again, our best line of questioning, there's probably going to be in relation to the maid and asking if she did it, if she knows who prepared it, what was in it, questions of that nature. And then the other big questions are going to obviously be to the one and only guard who was stationed by the king. And even to that degree, we can call Desmond Gray to the stand, because the question becomes, why was there only one guard by the king?
Yeah, that sounds like a question that the captain of the guard would know.
So I that's our best line of argumentation, I believe.
Yep. Okie dokie. Well, Valen, we haven't been able to gather all that much significant information, but nevertheless, we are emboldened. Therefore, you should turn yourself in, and we will press for a trial.
What? I'm sorry.
I mean...
What?
A lot of this is going to be contingent on your testimony.
Oh, good lord. All right, did you figure out at least anything about what may have happened to me?
When we visited Roberto Lucerne, while he was not able to verify due to the length of passage of time that you were under the effect of any drugs, aside from the wound wheel, he did key us into some local drugs that could have been used, such as white poppy or wild cabbage.
Wild lettuce.
Same thing.
Or drake root.
What was the third one? There were three. White poppy was definitely one of them.
White poppy, wild lettuce, drake root.
See, this is why I keep him around.
I thought you were the one with the book.
Yeah, but I haven't read it yet.
Oh, boy. Oh, I feel my life slowly starting to slip away before I've even taken the stand.
Valen, I know. It's a lot. But do you recall what was served to you for breakfast that morning?
It was honey porridge. It was... What do you want from me, Charles? This isn't...
Was it particularly more bitter than expected?
It was very sweet.
Abnormally sweet, wouldn't you say?
Well, for my tastes, yes. The king is old, though, so he perhaps maybe likes his honey porridge sweeter than usual. I don't know.
I mean, you knew the king fairly well. Did he have a penchant for a sweet tooth?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Damn it, Valen, you give me nothing to work with.
I'm sorry. What do you want from me?
I throw up my hands in agitation.
You are asking me questions I'm happy to answer, but I feel that I've already answered these.
One of the things that we had considered is the fact the porridge might have been sweeter than usual because they might be attempting to cover up a bitter drug that was laced within the porridge you were fed.
You want me to say that in my testimony?
I don't want you to lie in your testimony if that is not what you believe.
All right, so my concern is if you tell me any more, maybe my testimony becomes not as accurate as I recall it.
Okay, well, Valen, then look at me in the eyes.
I'm looking you in the eyes. I don't like this. Your eyes are very big and very scary. Wow, what a pansy.
Just remember, Kelsey, this is the man you like.
I don't like him. I just... Whoa.
Kelsey, maybe don't tell him that right before I'm about to ask him this. Valen.
What?
If we have any chance at succeeding this, you are going to have to trust us. We will do absolutely everything in our power to acquit you. Now, that being said, I am not a defense attorney, and this is not legal advice.
This is legal advice.
Oh no.
Fenever, maybe you try saying it. You're more believable than me.
That was legal advice, and he is liable.
No, I will not be countersued for this.
I think that perhaps I should stop speaking and want to talk to my lawyer. Oh,
Fenever,
you're my lawyer, aren't you?
Fairly good. That's better. Yes, Finnevir, you're the lawyer.
Oh, this is going to go swimmingly. Everything will work out. It always does. It has to. If you don't,
you just break out of prison the third time.
Well, you might be a good foot shorter than I remember you. Are you saying I'm going to lose my head?
Maybe she was just thinking your ankles. You got tall ankles.
I do have very nice ankles. Sorry.
I knew it.
Dainty, feminine prick.
Charles Smoot does not have nice ankles, is what we've
very rugged here. And knotty.
Hairy.
Very hairy.
Well, if I've learned anything from being a seeker, in Quariendum Veritatem.
Seek truth and know. And seek the truth we shall.
Hopefully it prevails.
Kelsey, you're not giving me any hope here. I was really working up the courage to go and, you know, turn myself in. I don't know anymore.
You'll be fine. Just put on your big boy pants, a diaper, and maybe something else. You'll be fine, right?
We faced worst odds and came out on top. This will be no different. On Smoot, we will succeed or die trying. Again. We're all risking a great deal here. But the truth is worth it. The people should know. And Valen's family should be cleared of this bogus crime. And we'll be the ones to reveal it.
And imagine how great it will be when we do!
All right. Grandfather, we are ready for the trial.
And I think that is where we're going to end this week's episode of The Gate Chronicles. It may have been slow going, but hey, we've got to gather information. We have to be prepared because we must seek the truth and let everyone else know. So, I guess then we will have to see you again soon.
We'll see you in court.
We'll see you in court next episode on The Gate Chronicles. Thank you, Foundlings, for listening to this week's episode of The Gate Chronicles. We're so glad that you joined us and that you will definitely continue to stick along as we go on this very wild ride. And, you know, we do want to give a big thank you and shout out to our patrons, Stephen Howland and Jason Lillis, who have been supporting this podcast for a very long time. We are so grateful to have you guys. Thank you so much. If you want to support this podcast, you can do so by helping us out on our Patreon or, you know, like telling a friend about us. Get this podcast out there. People don't know we exist, and they really should. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I'll get you some cement shoes if you don't. I know where every single one of you lives. I don't. That's a lie. I know where you all live. So, we also want to give another thank you and shout out to all of the music and ambiance creators for this series, including, and not specifically for the series, but the music and ambiance creators that we use in this series. Michael Gelfi of Michael Gelfi Studios, Yvonne Dutch, Epidemic Sounds, Monument Studios, and all the artists that are actually from Epidemic Sounds and Artlist. I just kind of threw them in there. I'll fix this later. That's okay. Anyway, I think that's it for me. So we will see you in the next episode of The Gate Chronicles next week.
Sometime in the future.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.